Great to have you with us on NBL Now, our special marketplace editions. We are only a couple of days removed from what was a very, very big day on Monday. There's still a lot to talk about. I'm Jack Heverin, Derek Rucker, Rad Rosen joining me this morning. Boys, good to see both of you.
Good to see you, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Crew's back together.
Loving it.
The Sunday Sydney crew back together. Hey, why don't we start with Will McDowell-White, Brad? Still no decision at this stage. Dare I say it, for those who listen to this show every day, this is probably going to be the lead item until we get a decision.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been listening to you guys and what an outstanding job and how much fun it's been watching you guys go through it all. And just everyone's like, come on, Will, let us know. And he's putting out little snippets here and there saying, I know where I'm going. So it's great. Look, I think obviously every team would love to have a Will McDowell-White. I think a lot of teams are waiting to see where he goes because then they've got to go with plan B if they don't get him. There's so many different places he goes. You know, the strong male is Brisbane, but then Adelaide look like it could be okay. So it'll be really interesting to see where he ends up.
Ruck, I thought it was very interesting. If you have a look at Will's Instagram bio right now, there's a little world map and then it's got TBC. What does that mean?
Isn't he enjoying all of this? And I'm surprised because Will is normally so mild-mannered. It's hard to get words out of him. I wouldn't say he's an extrovert, but we're seeing a new Will McDowell-White going through this process. And Jack, since we recorded the Marketplace long edition episode on Monday, I've come back to Brisbane, had a chance to kind of go through it again. And now I really think there are only two landing spots for Will. I think it's either here in Brisbane, in which case he becomes the face of the franchise. Is he ready for that? Possibly. But to be the face of the franchise, he's going to have to maintain supreme health, and he's going to have to perform night in, night out. Now, from a basketball perspective, Brad, I really think Adelaide is the go. He goes down to the Adelaide, it immediately changes the fortunes of that team, and they all of a sudden become a legitimate playoff contender in my estimation. If I were Will, though, man, it's hard to bypass. And I don't mean any offense to South Australians, but it's hard to bypass Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast and the Gold Coast for Adelaide. Yeah, you've got your vineyards, but I'm living in Brisbane if I got my chance.
Look, I think Adelaide would be amazing. That is something I would love to see him with DJ there, with Isaac Humphries coming off that on ball. And let's be honest, you know, one of the major strengths with Will McDowell-White is the way he comes off that on ball. He is outstanding. Isaac is a great screen and roll. That's where the talk was Southeast Melbourne and will a Jordan Hunter go there and all these things that's been so intriguing. But for me, I think Adelaide would be a great fit for him. And I agree with what Derek's saying here. You go to Brisbane, yeah, you will be the face. You go to Adelaide, now you're talking top four and you could be fighting for a championship with what goes on down there. So it's a very, very big decision. You know, us living in Sydney, we don't have to worry about wineries or weather or anything like that. It's beautiful every day. So we just know we've got it fine.
So am I reading between the lines here that you two both think that Tasmania are out of the equation now?
I don't love that fit so much, Brad. I just think, like, go somewhere and help be the foundational member of a program that's trying to elevate itself again. You know, you can jump on that bandwagon. And I think Pete Hools made a great point the other day. It's like, if things don't go to plan down in Tasmania, they're pointing that finger directly at the new guy.
Yeah, I'm with Derek. That's a lose-lose situation. You know, you go there, it's a little bit like the Kevin Durant thing, you know, when he goes. He, if they win, well, you were supposed to win because you've got the players around you. If they lose, it's your fault because you didn't stick into the program. So I think that's a really tough thing. He's still young. Let's not forget that, right? And something like that is not something that a young player needs right now. I think he needs to go to a different program than that. But in saying that, who wouldn't want to play for Tasmania at the moment? Look what Scott Roth is building down there. It would be a very, very intriguing offer to be able to go and play in a program like that.
Brad, let's pick your brain a little bit here on the Sydney Kings. Obviously, former captain of the club, but I think importantly here is you've worked under Brian Gorjan as an assistant coach. So you understand better than most how he thinks, what he likes, what he wants the program to look like. Firstly, your impressions on how proactive they were on day one.
Gorgian style. He thinks he can win a championship. He likes winning championships, and that's what he's going after. I love what he's done. It's typical Gorgian. He's building players that play, but he wants to coach. They're going to be very defensive orientated. Obviously, it all revolved around Xavier Cooks. What a great signing. That's exactly what they needed. They've now got that four-man that can just go to work night in, night out, give them a presence on the defense. Now they're starting to bring the college players back in and the young guys. They will play. I love the Liapa signing. He will give them grunt on the defensive end. And I think everything that Gorge is doing is what they need to do. The only stickler at the moment is they got to now get that five-man right. There's a lot of bigs in the, you know, you look at a Magne, right? Someone's got to be able to go against a Magne night in, night out. And Gorge is renowned for bigs. He loves them. You know, you go back to the John Dorje, Anstey's, Matty Nielsen's, you know, Duoc Reef recently. So these are the guys. My mail is Jordan Hunter will not be there. So I'd say that's going to go to an import spot. So that's probably the one. And they've been very good with the way they get their imports. And you'd assume there'll be a one guard coming in. They've been very good with recruiting that as well over the last few years.
Well, I think, you know, provided we're back doing Sunday afternoons in Sydney, it will look totally different this season, Jack. And Brian brings a vibration and an energy with him that is about success. It's about enthusiasm. It's about passion. And I give full credit to what the Kings have done over the past 3 years, even in this down season that they just experienced with respect to their crowd and their game day experience. And all of that was really good. It's about to be elevated fivefold now. Brian has a pre-existing strong relationship with that Sydney basketball community. It is going to be reinvigorated to another level now. And accompanying that will be wins, Brad. And that is all of a sudden a very dangerous program. He is going to get some top-level imports. I caught up with Billy Tomlinson up here at the Under-18 National Championships. And Billy was enthused about the import prospects they have. They've already done a good job in anchoring down the Australian contingent. Man, they're looking dynastic, Jack.
Yeah, they sure are. And I think the other thing that will be interesting, Brad, is that under Chase Buford and even under Coach Mahmoud Abdel Fattah, they were up-tempo. They were up and down and probably to their detriment last season. They didn't pay enough respect at the defensive end of the floor. But you know, Gorge, will they play that way, or do you think they'll be more of a grind, walk the ball up the floor kind of team?
I think it will be somewhere in the middle, Jack. Like, I think you have to play pace at this level now with the way the game is and the way the game's evolved. So I think that they will play with pace, but the biggest thing for Gorge will be his defensive transition, the making sure they shut down their guys one-on-one defensively, box out and go. So I do know that he loves guys grabbing. Like, you get a Xavier Cooks grabbing the ball off the rim, go. Just get out and run, and that's what he will want to do. But it will be more orientated where I felt Sydney got all their energy last year, or this season we've just finished, all from the offensive end. When things were flowing there, everything else flowed. What that will change next year, it will come from the defense. It will be diving on balls. It'll be blocking shots. It will be great defense. And then they'll go. So the pace will still be there, but it will come from a different dynamic. And that's what a Gorgian style basketball brings.
And Brad, I'm curious to see if they come back with Jalen Adams. I think that's the big curious point for me, because I see a world where he becomes very good under Brian. But I also see a world where possibly it may not be the right fit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it is the right fit. I think with what's gone on over last year and everything, look, he's an outstanding player. He's an MVP of this league. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think that's the type of player that they need this season. Now, moving forward, you never know. But what's gone on in the last 12 months, I think they need that to clean house, bring a new import in, and go to work. Because let's be honest now, this is Xavier Cooks' team, right? And they've got to make him the top dog. Things roll around him, and now they fit the pieces around him.
Now, Brad, I know you were watching a lot of what we did on Monday with Marketplace Live, so I know that you wouldn't have missed this particular part where Derek Rucker basically said he sees the Kings playing in the championship series already. And we're 3 days into, well, at that stage, we're 1 day into free agency. Rucker, you standing by that?
I certainly am. I just have confidence in the man and the coach that Brian Goorjian is. Look what he did with Illawarra with less resources, with less recruiting appeal, with less of a roster. Now, the league is tougher than it was when he was last here. But I think, Brad, I think he's highly motivated now into his 70s. He has the motivation like some coach that's just come out of high school trying to get to a D1. The guy is driven like no other coach we've seen in Australia before, and he understands the task at hand, and it's a great task, and any lover of basketball is captivated by this story.
Yeah, look, completely agree. Derek's just tired of people yelling at him coming in the Kudos Bank Arena, so he's trying to make sure he gets a bit of love, right? And it's not going to happen, Derek. It will not work, but I do like your theory. Look, there's no question they're semi-final bound. We know that. With Goorjian, the way he's been with every program, I love what Dean Bickerman always says. When you put yourself in that position and you're always up there, you're giving yourself a chance to win. No question. What I do worry about is there's a lot of young guys there. With the reports that what Xavier Cooks has been paid, that is a lot of money. That doesn't leave a lot. The minimum salary now is like 75, I think, a year. So when you call what you paid a Xavier Cooks, then there's the salary cap. And yes, you can go over the salary cap, but you still got to spend it, right? And you don't want to be, you know, you can't just keep spending and spending. So you got to be careful with how they're recruiting. I have no doubt they'll be up there, but I always have in the back of my mind, geez, I hope no injuries. Geez, I hope their imports work. And they're the things where I think right now, no question they'll be there. Can they win it? Well, Tasmania will say, let's have a chat at that. We want to have a chat and all these other teams. But, you know, Derek's just doing his Sydney thing and it won't work. Same Brisbane, brother. You're right.
He just likes the post-game entertainment that we were treated to last year, and he wants that back next season when we come back. Yes. Hey, let's talk Melbourne United.
That's right.
Right now, from a Melbourne United point of view, very much taken care of at the guard position and even at the wings. They're pretty well under control. But the intrigue when we looked at their depth chart on Monday was around the big man department. There will be no Ariel Hookporty. Most likely now no Joe Lewald-Chul Jr. Luke Travers very much up in the air. Now, I think they've said that they will make a big play for Jack White, but even his situation is changing sort of week by week with 10 days and whatnot. Any concerns here?
Yeah, there are. And Brad, it's so expensive now to try and go out and get import bigs. It is a really costly process because you're competing with the heavyweights in Europe. You're competing with China. You're competing with Japan. And even bigs hoping to get into the NBA on 10-day deals. So it is very difficult. Now, if they were able to get Jack White back, that kind of lessens that difficulty because then you know you've got a quality Australian big. Now you can go out and get an import that may not have to carry so much water throughout the course of the season. You can just get like a 7 out of 10 import. Someone like, dare I say, Marcus Lee. Now, we know he's coming off of some injuries. He had that knee injury in the championship series, but he's out there now. And Jack, we saw throughout the playoffs his interaction with the Melbourne United team, with their staff, with their front office. They love that guy. And Marcus Lee is a high character person. He's a really good player. He's been in the league now for 2 seasons. He understands what's going on. I think that is an easy fit for them, Brad. And one where you know what you're dealing with, both pieces that you potentially can bring in.
Yeah, I heard the Marcus Lee thing with you guys talking about that. That's a great figure, right? The one thing I'll say about Mel is just expect the unexpected. You know, they're an extremely well-managed team. They know, they understand, they're extremely well-coached, and they've always been able to find a way. And I think they're where, you know, this is, you look at the Jack White scenario, the Jock Landale from a few years ago. in a sense, came out of nowhere. But everyone was like, wow, what a signing. You know that they will get the right pieces. But I'm with Derek now. What we were at a few years ago, you know, NBL is completely different now. We are world stage. People will demand money. And you got to pay that to be able to get the imports and the caliber that you need to be able to finish in that top one or two. This side, now, man, this ain't no cupcake league, as we say anymore, right? We love the fact that it is not that. So what does that mean when it's not a cupcake league? You're going to have to pay. And when you pay, you got to find the right guy, and that comes with pressure as well. So I do like the Marcus Lee, but I'm with Derek. You got to make sure you get that four spot 100% right if you're going to bring in a Marcus Lee, because he's not going to give you 25 and 15 a game, but yeah, he might give you 15 and 10 and blocks and good defense.
I'm very uncomfortable with how much you two are agreeing this morning. I'm not used to it. It's kind of blowing my mind a little bit here. It's really challenging me. Let's see if we can get a differing opinion here on Deng Adel in that case. He returns to the Brisbane Bullets. Let's call a spade a spade. When Deng was last here a couple of years ago, it wasn't a great year at Illawarra. There was a lot of expectation at that stage. What should the expectation be second time around for him this time with Brisbane?
Well, the thing I like about Deng Adel here in Brisbane is that he is unique. They don't have any other players like him. So there is a role, a spot of need for him here with the Bullets. I also like that right now he currently is playing pretty good basketball over in France. So he's ascending, looking like he's getting himself back together from a basketball perspective. Now, the NBL is tougher than the French League. And is there scarring remaining from his experience down in Illawarra from that season? Does he have his confidence restored now that he can come back and give the Bullets what they need? And the Bullets need something from him. They need offensive punch. They need athleticism. They need efficiency in order to get to where they think they should be. So it is a great opportunity for Deng Adel. One that I'll probably need to study a bit more of his game field to see how I think it translates to the NBL. But if he has the talent, this is a guy that was in the NBA. Make no bones about it. He was in the NBA, so he can hoop. But we got to see it here. And just because you've done it in the NBA doesn't mean you can do it in the NBL, as crazy as that may sound.
Yeah, I think it's the craziest signing, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, as in it's the wrong signing. It was just the one I thought to myself, wow, that's a big move. Now, I want to go behind the scenes of the Brisbane Bullets. If they know other guys that they've got signed, like let's say they knew Will McDowell-White was coming, okay, I can see there's less of a pressure and that's not a bad signing. But I'm looking at this thinking myself, it didn't work in Illawarra. He averaged like 5 or 6 points, low percentage, just over 30%, didn't shoot the three ball well. And I'm thinking to myself, you've lost Nathan Sobey. The club came seventh. They're trying to get in the playoff spot. There is a lot of pressure from tip-off, not from 3 or 4 or 5 games in. You're an ex-NBL player, NBA player. Didn't work out. We need to see you go from the absolute tip-off. In preseason, we want to see stuff. Or it's going to be pressure, pressure, pressure. And I'm not convinced right now that this is what the Brisbane Bullet needs. I hope I'm wrong, but it was a shock signing to me.
Yeah, so watch this space, isn't it? It's hard to know, Ruck. It's hard to know. I think, Brad, you've summarized it perfectly. It is a real unknown. It could end up being the most savvy piece of front office management that we'll see in the NBL 25 season, or it could go the other way.
Well, you know, if Brisbane get Will McDowell-White, it's kind of all hinging on that potential signing. And since being up here, Jack, the past couple of days, there's a confidence. There's a belief here that they've done enough to lure Will here and perhaps alleviate some of his concerns about returning to Brisbane. If they get that done, then they will have that Chris Smith import spot in which they can fill with a high caliber import, and things start to look differently. If Deng Adel turns out to be 80% of the player that he once was touted to be,
yep,
now they look okay. I still think if anything were to happen to Tyrell Harrison throughout the course of the season, they become a bit fragile up front. However, they believe as an organization that with Tyrell's improved attention to his strength and conditioning, his maturity as a person, they believe those injury worries are behind him.
I like what you're saying, well, Jerry. Let's just say Will McDowell goes there. I think Rocco is going to take another level as well, right? Rocco is going to go to the next level in the way he plays this season. I really do. He's coming off the Australian team. He's played great. And he's going to really dominate this season. And I'm going to say he's going to be the most improved. I really believe that.
Wow.
So when you get him, you get the point, you know, you get, if it's a Will McDowell-White, I think Isaac White, I like him. Didn't shoot the ball as good as he can, but I think he'll have a better season. Sam McDaniel's going to be on the defensive end. You know what Mitch Norton's going to give you. Then there's less pressure on Daniel Bell, right? That's where it comes. And you've still got an import spot. And you're so right about that Chris Smith role. They nail that. Now, Dengadel, we just need you to play your minutes. Don't worry. All good. This team is now looking good. But if it doesn't go that way, that's like where you now turn around and go, uh-oh, this didn't work.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, how are we going on the early season predictions? So I predicted the Kings in the championship series next year. Our man Hools put Kyron Galloway down for most improved player. Now Brad's gone with Rocco Zakarski is most improved player in week one of the offseason. Guys, we got to settle down. We got to chill and take some time off.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Keep them coming. Keep them coming thick and fast. Hey, guys, before we finish up today, tomorrow we'll talk a lot about some of the other teams that we haven't highlighted yet here on NBL Now Marketplace. But little shout out to Jared Bairstow. It doesn't look like there'll be a contract for him with Tasmania next season. And if it is the last that we see of JB in this league, I was thinking about this morning. When this Jack Jumpers roster was put together, there were some fabric signings. And a guy like Fabian Krislevic was one of them. Jared Bairstow, another, who didn't play a stack of minutes, wasn't someone that we spoke about a lot. But I reckon when we look back on the history of the Jack Jumpers and how they came together, Jared Bairstow is going to feature as a pretty important part of that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I thought that Jared just was consistent over three seasons, whether it was on the court, whether it was off the court, and his demeanor never changed. And I think having someone like that who sets the standard for conduct, no matter what your role is in an organization, means a lot. And Jack, I talked about throughout the championship series, how Jordan Crawford never changed his demeanor, the way he behaved, in spite of all the roller coaster rides he went on through the playoffs. He was up, he was down, he got benched. He come out and had 13 in the first quarter in game two. But you know what, Brad? You're only able to do that when there's modeling already within the program. And that model, that symbolism was Jared Bairstow. He would go out there and do what was ever required whenever he was called upon. And from a bench point of view, from a leadership point of view, you know, his fingerprints are all over that championship trophy. I still think there are a couple of clubs, Brad, that could sign him for one season for just those reasons I described before.
No doubt. Every club team needs Jared Bairstow type players. Jack, you summed that up really well. Another one is like Jared Weeks. What have they done with Jared? He's now working in the office. They love these type of players to, and as assistant coach Jared as well. I love, there was an interview that I saw with Jack McVeigh during the finals. I can't remember what game it was. And he's like, I'm loving it. I just get to go up against Jared Bairstow every day and he makes me a better player. That, to me, summed up what this club feels like with a Jared Bairstow. He just bangs every day. He doesn't care. He could come out and be ugly and go, this is ridiculous. I'm out of here. I can't believe I wasn't used. No, it's all team. And that comes from the top down, outstanding what he's been able to do for that club. And you never want to hear any, he didn't play enough minutes, he didn't do that. He is a huge part of that program from day one. And he should be on it in the way that he is being on it at the moment. And to answer Derek, yes, there is definitely a spot. Look at Tom Bogdanovich. You know, they brought him in. You need guys like these winners around that because the locker room is huge and a key for them. When they're not winning, these guys really help.
Just putting it out there, Ruck, there's a team in Brisbane who could probably use a little bit of support in that position.
Yeah, and someone who also has ties to the community. Jared does a lot of work with the youth up here in training young players. You know, I was fortunate enough to work with him a bit in helping develop his game. He's just a quality person and comes from a quality family. And I would like to see him get one more. But, Brad, to finish your last season as a pro, as a champion, that's not the worst way to go out either.
Yeah, good point.
All right, and that's a pretty good way for us to go out as well. You two have been outstanding this morning, as always. Thank you to both of you. There's still a lot going on here in the free agency space as we build towards NBL 25, but appreciate your times this morning.
All right, Jack.
Thanks, guys.
Been a blast. We will catch you tomorrow on NBL Now, the Marketplace Editions, as we continue to wind our way through all of the news, all of the analysis. And Will, if you're listening, let us know where you're going. We'll catch you next time.